It has been an eventful week here in the Sports Cubicle, all around the Chicago Sportsline, even though it's supposed to be a dead time of the summer as All-Star Break takes center stage. And of course, everything that we are waiting for in the NFL for training camp, the NBA free agency has come and gone. And yet it feels like we have not had a day off because this Northwestern story, this disgusting, disturbing hazing and in some cases sexual abuse story going on at Northwestern as Pat Fitzgerald has officially been let go as the head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats football team. We are here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado. Now, if you missed our initial reaction to the reports, you could check out our YouTube channel over at the Sports Cubicle. Go check out wherever you get your favorite podcast at Sports from the Couch. And, of course, the WCPT 820 SoundCloud, where we reacted to the initial reports that came out about Pat Fitzgerald and the institutional hazing that's been going around the athletic department at Northwestern. And in the middle of the recording, we all mentioned it wasn't a matter if, but when Pat Fitzgerald would be fired. Well, it wouldn't only take about 4 hours from that posting for that to happen. And since then, Pat Fitzgerald has issued a statement and has even retained legal counsel after firing originally happened. And we'll go ahead. This comes to us from NBC Sports Chicago via Yahoo Sports. Former Northwestern football coach Pat Fitzgerald issued a statement after he was fired by the university, saying he is retaining legal counsel and that he intends to, quote, take the necessary steps to protect his rights. Fitzgerald, who was fired Monday in the wake of an investigation into hazing in the football program, says he takes, quote, great pride in his achievements in Evanston, but criticized the administration for handling of his dismissal. Quote, last Friday, Northwestern and I came to a mutual agreement regarding the appropriate resolution following the thorough investigation conducted by Miss Maggie Hickey, he said. This agreement stipulated a 2-week suspension, continued the former head coach of Northwestern. Therefore, I was surprised when I learned the president of Northwestern unilaterally revoked our agreement without any prior notification and subsequently terminated my employment, end quote. Fitzgerald says he's retaining legal counsel in the case and that he intends to, quote, take the necessary steps to protect my rights in accordance with the law. The statement comes hours after Fitzgerald was fired from Northwestern of his duties amid the continuing fallout from an investigation into the hazing at the school. Devin, this is a story that just continues to get uglier and uglier. From the moment we stopped recording on Monday to the moment Pat Fitzgerald was fired, up until where we're recording this segment, there's even been more details. There's even more really awful, ritualistic, and downright homophobic and racial allegations that have been made towards this program. And now we're at the point where people are losing their jobs, and a report has even came out from Mike Schill, the president of Northwestern, that the entire coaching staff will be coming back. So there are some members of this coaching staff that this is their first year. They've only had literally 5 minutes on the job. And then there's a lot of other, like, especially the training staff, the strength and conditioning staff that have been there for a long time. So it's a little weird how this is happening. But before we get into the legal stuff, before we get into Pat Fitzgerald retaining legal counsel, your initial reaction to the firing and the fallout since even when we recorded our segment all the way earlier on this week?
Well, I don't want to say something like good riddance that Pat Fitzgerald is fired, but the dude should have been fired. He should have lost his job, absolutely. And I know we're going to stay out of legal stuff right now, but I'm pretty sure before he was fired, he was told, hey, you better lawyer up if you want to protect yourself here. Because here's the thing. Do we really think Northwestern, do they really want to fire Pat Fitzgerald? No. But it was one of those things, like, if you brought him back, you can kiss so much stuff goodbye. That's the best way to put it, Mercado, there. And I hate to say that it's until we get, you know, to a court of law and justice is served, it's just going to get uglier and uglier and uglier for just this entire case here. And especially with Northwestern being such a huge, you know, sports school, you know, it's going to really kind of affect that entire campus there. I mean, how many people, you know, go there on a sports scholarship now? It's like, are you going to want to go to Northwestern now? And I understand, I feel bad for the coaches that it's like their first year and they've only been there for 5 minutes. Because this team, especially for the next few years, is going to be awful because this is, you don't recover from this backlash for at least decades afterwards. But these trainers that have been there before, like as we learned about the Kyle Beach thing, if one person's doing some bad stuff, other people might be doing some bad or know about doing some bad here. And especially if you're trainers, if someone comes in, are you not asking them how they got these injuries? Because let's be real here. Some of these hazings are going to actually end up getting guys hurt. Not just emotionally or mentally, but physically. And if you're seeing that trainer, it's like, how did you get that bruise when you're not even getting tackled in that area?
There is a lot to break down, Dev. And we can even go back to the optics of this thing, right? Like, you're talking about stuff that happened on the field, physical harm, and that's the result of institutional failure. And if you think about it, we didn't hear from Northwestern's AD, Derek Gregg, for days because he was on vacation when this was happening. He was on vacation when the head football coach was fired for hazing allegations. We just heard that Northwestern's president in Mike Schill and their AD, Gregg, were on a Zoom call with the players and only took one question. And then we heard from reports from players in that meeting, it wasn't adequate enough, that it was impersonal. This has been handled horribly by what's supposed to be a world-class institute. You have seen some of the most baffling things I've ever seen in any type of business, any type of realm where professionals are supposed to be in charge. Look, this is where I think Pat Fitzgerald has legal right. They all saw the report on Friday when that suspension came out. And they decided, Mike Schill decided, a 2-game suspension was enough. What changed between Friday and Monday? Because all the details were there. Nothing changed. So you know what? Pat Fitzgerald is right in the sense of suing and getting legal help. Because Northwestern's administration doesn't deserve any type of leeway. Doesn't deserve any type of benefit of doubt. Because they are just as false as anybody else in this situation. What's crazy is the fallout of where Northwestern's going to go moving forward. Back in 1930-something, and a little bit of a history lesson, the University of Chicago was a Big Ten school. Big, prominent national champions. And they essentially, between the boosters and whatnot, long story short, they went down to Division III. And they went all in on academics and not sports. If you're looking at Northwestern right now, the rumblings and the grumblings, a lot of people were anti the new stadium because all that money could have allocated to other programs. They were cutting programs in Northwestern. Now you have boosters, you have students, you have faculty, you have community members who don't want that brand new stadium to go up. So I wonder how big of an impact this is going to be, not just for this upcoming season, not just for the interim coach or whatever coach they bring in. Can they bring Northwestern to respectability? Can the program survive this?
Can the program survive this? Yes. As we saw with Penn State, the sports program can survive just about anything here. I hope you're paying attention, boss man. We're the sports program at WCPT. Now back to being serious here. So the program itself is going to still be a thing, Mercado, but is it going to be this great, illustrious? The history is pretty tarnished to what Northwestern was by this, as we learned with everything here. But I kind of said it best. I don't think they're going to get a lot of players around go here. They're going to have to give massive scholarships to get some athletes to come. And you see with this backlash, they're not going to want to. And personally, I think Northwestern should be suspended for an entire season. It's like, you really mucked this up here.
You know what's crazy is kind of a local on the field look to it. Pat Fitzgerald's son was going to be playing on this team. This is a 6'4", 200 something pound player. Like, I don't know how much of a recruit he is, but like that idea of who knows what he's going to have to go through now, what kind of transfer porter he's going to have to, like, he's not at fault on this. Garanski, who was the highly touted Northwestern tackle in Skoronski, and you have him from Illinois, plays at Northwestern, starting lineman, captain of the team, top first round pick. Imagine if he had drafted by the Bears and not Darnell Wright. That rookie would have had the most, other than Justin Fields, would have had the most media surrounding his locker.
Not the same as Fields.
Think about that, though. Like, imagine that type of, we've been talking about the vibes of the Bears, right? We're talking about, like, fandom now. Imagine if that was one of the main stories heading into this training camp for the Chicago Bears, is that their prized first-round offensive lineman that's supposed to protect their quarterback might have been one of these players that was either a part of or had some type of interaction with these hazings at this university. He's a starting captain offensive lineman. Like, the Bears were that close to that being a reality for them.
I agree, and that definitely would have, you know, tarnished what Ryan Poles calls that whole, you know, the legacy, the honor. What was the word that he was using back in the
for NFL? The culture?
The culture. Thank you. That was the word he was going for. And I see what they're trying to kind of preach here, because, you know, we've seen the Bears. They're trying to look like the cool, hip team, I guess. You know, George McCaskey's actually doing something successful, even though he's the hello, fellow children, how do you do sort of type. But that really would have, I think it, here's the thing. The Bears are not most other teams in the NFL. I think if that were to be the case, they might have cut that guy.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, let's take a look. They cut Cedric Benson.
I mean, they've cut plenty of guys. I think this is
for the acts of being a you-know-what off the field.
Sure, no, there's plenty of examples of that. I just don't know if how much they could correlate, how much they would blame. I think in bigger picture where I think it would have been something they would have worried about, or maybe it was something they had an inkling about, and when they were doing their research, and that's why they were like, no, 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 we're going to trade down one spot, and we're going to go get another offensive lineman from the SEC and not this, because it was a little weird that they didn't go after him. It was a little weird that he fell to them, and it, I don't. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but again, this is what happens. This is the fallout. This is kind of like the S-storm going down the creek, you know? Like, it's, there's a lot that goes into this. Now, I think we have to give a shout out to the Medell students, the journalists, the students that broke this story. And I want to bring this up for one reason. And I think a lot of people who love media, who are like us, who are journalism junkies, cable news has really affected how people trust journalism. The Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, two of the biggest newspapers in our country, don't have beat reporters for Northwestern. That's a Big Ten school. It's a huge institute in our state. That's a private institute in our state that creates a lot of jobs, creates a lot of students, creates a lot of entertainment. And we don't have anybody to keep them accountable. And that's why it's important. Journalism, down-to-earth journalism, poor journalism, journalism that people are eating grilled cheese sandwiches. Not Stephen A. Smith, not Skip Bayless, not any of your guys on Outkick or Fox News or MSNBC or any one of your favorite cable news outlets. The journalists that are doing the job, that are spending hours interviewing, sourcing, and then guess what? More sourcing. They need our support because things like this go unchecked. How many institutes, from football programs to gymnastic programs to programs at children's schools? This is where it becomes a big picture. This is where I think eyes need to be open, where the sports world meets the real world. Where this is happening here with multi-billion dollars and super stud athletes and the most machismo of machismo men, it's happening everywhere. It can happen anywhere. And I think that's what's really scary. And I think that's what's really eye-opening. And that's why this is bigger than just a football team, a coach, a university. This is a community. This is a state. This is a whole thing that's happening right now. I mean, when you see that coming off the fallout that the New York Times is dropping their sports department because they bought The Athletic, like, how impressed were you by the students, the journalists of Medell at Northwestern for doing what they're doing now, in spite of the fact that they were going to get a bunch of hatred, a bunch of pushback, because Pat Fitzgerald is beloved, almost zealot like followers of him at Evanston?
Oh, I've just been seeing on Twitter alone, the people are already like, I don't believe this story here. So shout out to the students there. I mean, Northwestern has a very good journalism program.
World class.
It shows in a case like this where they're like, we're not afraid to, you know, go and expose things that we think are happening and get in the bigger picture here. When, you know, you see guys that, like, I hate to say it, guys like us or guys in bigger things, they don't want to do that because, like, oh, I'm afraid I'm, you know, lose my career, you know, if I tick off the wrong people here. Sometimes you got to push a few buttons here and there. I hate to say push your buttons. You got to call it the BS. That's the best way to do it here. And if you're doing if you think Pat Fitzgerald's doing something wrong that is off the field, call him out in his BS. And I honestly think that's just the way it goes. And I think what Pat Fitzgerald is doing, he's trying to take as many people down with him. I think Pat Fitzgerald knows he is royally you-know-what. And I think he wants to take this entire, you know, university down with him, or as many people as he can. I would not be surprised if he's doing a tell-all TV interview in a few weeks or months or so.
Yo, yeah, I definitely think he's going to go on a tour to try to salvage his name. I do think that this is going to be a really nasty, bitter divorce. I think Pat Fitzgerald's within his right to sue Northwestern, because Northwestern screwed the pooch on this. And guess what? Northwestern's in the right to fire this man.
Yes.
whether he knew or not, he was in charge. And if he's going to preach what he preaches about culture, and then he has that PSA about hazing, and he's going to put himself as the front of the organization, the holier-than-thou coach, the old ball coach, then you're responsible for all this. And I don't think there's any winners. I think everybody's a loser. Imagine the amount of students that their degrees were affected by this. Their playing careers were affected. Their lives were affected by this. This is so much bigger than just you're a fan of a certain Big Ten squad on Saturday mornings. This is real life stuff. And it's becoming way too common that every few months we have to have stories like this because people can't keep their damn hands to themselves and know how to treat other human beings. And I'm sick and tired of the disguise of sports to be the reason why, and masculinity, that we get to get away with some of this stuff. But I do think what your point is. And in the face of all that, there are young students and amazing professors that answer the call and the challenge. And just highlight, mind you, they weren't the ones discovering this stuff. They were just reporting the findings from the investigation that was done. They had more courage than the administration of Northwestern did. And that is appalling and downright disappointing.
I wouldn't say they had more courage, because I don't think the administrator had courage. I think he had skeletons in the closet that he did not want getting out here. Because here's the thing, Ricardo, if you're getting investigated, is it ever for anything good?
Well, that's my point. Like, I think that the administration was afraid of their biggest booster, and I believe it's Pat Ryan. And that decision had to go through him first. Can we fire Pat Fitzgerald? Hey, you're the one who's going to give us Ryan Field for $800 million. Is it okay if we get rid of the guy that got hired here at 31, was a star linebacker that took us to a Rose Bowl? Imagine if this is what's scary. And I'll leave it with this because we have a lot to get to with more Northwestern stuff. Imagine what happens in smaller institutes, smaller cities, places where the old ball coach is the highest paid teacher, faculty member at a university. What happens down south, out west, up north? This is happening in Chicago, Evanston, Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
It's really scary how much power some of these institutes have, some of these coaches have over hundreds of people. So shout out to the students, and I think shout out also to, while there are some Neanderthals that are still walking around that are hitting the things like, oh, Pat Fitzgerald, I'll send my kid to him. Cool, go ahead. He doesn't have a job right now because he did something stupid. So good luck sending your kid, your imaginary four-star athlete child, to Pat Fitzgerald. It makes no sense. It doesn't. It just, the water caring for something like that is amazing to me. But shout out to the Northwestern journalist students, and shout out to everybody who's been open and has been willing to tell their story, and to all the sports fans that are willing to listen and try to help and make things better. But Devin, we have a jam-packed show, because that's not the only thing that's been going on with Northwestern. It's not the only thing that AD Greg and that Mike Schill need to answer for. Because Northwestern continues with some horrible, horrendous allegations that we will be getting to on this edition of the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado.